Well, let's start with a look at mass attendance in the whole Archdiocese of Vancouver from 2012 to 2018. Now, as you can see in the first few years, everyone's happy because the attendance in our Archdiocese is going up. But in the last few years, things have been going downhill, and very few people want to talk about that. So some people have said, hey, it's going down. You remember that weekend that we took the mass attendance? It's because we had a big storm that weekend. Okay. So as you can see, storms keep on getting worse and worse in the Lower Mainland. And next year, of course, the numbers are going to go back up above 86,000 people, right? What kind of explanation is that? Now, what we're talking about today is there's a human need to bear fruit. We all want to bear fruit, as the Bible calls it. So we look at that, we all like to talk about the success, but when we start seeing some failure, some bad fruit, no one wants to talk about it. So dear guests and brothers and sisters, we have to talk about this. Jesus is asking us to talk about this, and we're going to face some sobering facts, but I'm going to try and tell you them in love, even though I think it's going to hurt a bit. So I ask myself, how much fruit have I borne as a priest? And the answer is some, but I don't think as much as I really should. So one measure of the holiness of a priest, the fruitfulness of his ministry, is that other young men and women will look at his example, be inspired by his ministry, and say, hey, I want to be a priest. I want to be a sister. I want to give my whole life to God. So I look at the last 12 years of my priesthood. How fruitful have I been? Not as fruitful as I should. If I were more holy, there would be more vocations. We mentioned before that 91% of Catholics by age 22, they no longer practice their faith. Most parents don't want to talk about that. Why? Because it could partially be their fault. Now, the truth is, and this is a generalization, but it holds for most cases, Catholic parents who are disciples, not just Catholic, but who are disciples, who make Jesus the center of their lives, who are devout, their kids tend to follow that path. And if they don't follow that path, it's generally because the parents haven't done it themselves. I'm sorry if this hurts. I think it probably does hurt. But Jesus is asking us to talk about it today. I once met a mother. She came to me. She's crying. Her daughter, late teenager, she's living with this much older man. And that older man's taking advantage of her. So this mother's crying to me. Why doesn't my daughter listen to me? And so I remember thinking, I didn't say this to her, but ma'am, you don't listen to anyone. You don't listen to church authority because you're a cafeteria Catholic. You pick and choose which teachings you're going to listen to. Your daughter's doing the exact same thing. She's just choosing a different menu. So it follows. Now, this happens to many parents. Their children don't practice the faith anymore, and the parents wonder why, but then we start going a bit deeper and we realize the parents have made compromises in their own faith. We all want this situation to improve. So let's listen to the words of Jesus. He says today, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. So the first step, we want to bear more fruit. The first step to bearing more fruit is to recognize that's what I'm designed to do. I'm designed to bear fruit. So I'm made in the image and likeness of God. God is fruitful. Love is fruitful. We are all designed to bear fruit. So there are two lies that are going to undercut this truth. We're designed to bear fruit, but there are two excuses that a lot of people tell themselves we like to listen to that says, oh, don't worry if you're not bearing any fruit. Don't worry. And here's the first one. God loves you just the way you are. So don't worry about it. You don't have to bear fruit. God loves you just the way you are. Now, whenever someone says that to us, we say right back to them, that's only half true. God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay the way we are. So I tell you, I'm saddened that my priesthood hasn't borne more fruit. That's the reality. And some of you, out of your kindness, you're going to say, Father Justin, you're a good priest. You've helped a lot of people. Okay, I'll take that. You're trying to encourage me. I get it. But I'll only take it if you promise me also to challenge me. You have to help me not to be complacent because Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. I'm asking you to help me be a better tree. I want to bear more fruit. So if you encourage me and affirm me at the same time, don't let me stay complacent. Help me to be holier. I'm always challenging you. I look forward to the time when you will challenge me. And for those of you who this sounds familiar to, take responsibility and take initiative. Number two, there's another lie, another excuse to avoid, and that is to lower our standards. Instead of aiming for sainthood for our children, we might say, even though my children don't practice the faith, they're still good people. But that's not enough. That's good, but it's not enough. Because Jesus says the goal of life is, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Dr. Ray Guarendi, this Catholic family counselor, he calls the idea of lowering our standards, he calls that the, well, they're not on drugs approach. Okay, so a lot of kids today, a lot of parents, they lament, they complain. The kids are rude, they're arrogant, they're self-centered, they're self-absorbed, they're ungrateful, and they're lazy. Well, at least they're not on drugs. That's not helping anyone. So we say, we lower the standard, I want my kids to be nice. That's not hard. Anyone can be nice. And as we've talked about, being nice, a lot of nice people, they don't have any courage. And because they're really nice, and that you just have to be nice, a lot of nice people also do a lot of moral evil. So some parents will say they're non-practicing children, they still believe in Jesus. That's good, but your kids don't love Jesus. Because if they loved him, they would keep his commandments. That's what Jesus says. God is calling us to be a parish desiring to be saints. That's his call. That is what we are designed to be. So my vocation, your vocation, and the expectation for our kids, very high, but it's very beautiful. Jesus says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for reminding us of this truth. Now, there's a second step if we want to bear more fruit, and that is that we unite ourselves more closely to Jesus, because he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We're starting Lent. And so we're going to get ourselves already in that mindset. How is Lent going to make me more fruitful? So how are we going to unite ourselves more closely to Jesus? There are three traditional ways. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving. How can we practice these this Lent to bring ourselves closer to Jesus? I'll give you a few examples. So prayer. Let's choose a prayer for Lent that's going to unite ourselves more closely to Jesus. So Deacon Andrew, for Tuesdays during Lent, he's going to do Stations of the Cross before the Tuesday night Mass. Fasting. Okay, so fasting means we're not going to eat. Or we're going to skip a meal, eat less. We're going to eat less of what we like, or maybe we're going to eat more of what we don't like. That's a good one. And you take that sacrifice and you offer it for your kids. You offer it for anyone you love. Almsgiving means giving to those in need. We're going to give some of our money to people in need. We're going to serve them. We're going to do acts of kindness for us. Now, the most powerful work of mercy for us as a parish this Lent is going to be 40 Days for Life. This is where we're going to stand up for the defenseless and save some children from being killed. I've looked at the list of signups. 159 people have already signed up. I looked at those names. I'm so encouraged when I see that. I praise God for those people who have already signed up. I thank you for already doing it. But actually, 159 people, it's a low number for our parish. Last year, we had 220 people for 2 days. Now we have 159 people for 4 days. We can do a lot better. So let's just review what we're talking about. 40 Days for Life means asking everyone here to take 1 hour between this Thursday and next Sunday, 4 days, any time in this 4 days, between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., I'm asking, would you take 1 hour to publicly witness for life? We've got these booklets that will help us to pray. We're not going to confront people. We're going to publicly pray. The BC Women's Hospital, they're aware of our presence. We're standing on private Catholic property. Nothing bad will happen. Let's look at the chart. There are six time slots so far that are not filled. I'm wondering if someone would be willing to look at those times. There are 14 time slots. Now, there are some time slots where there's, 12 people signed up. That's great. But there are 14 time slots where there's only one person signed up, and we don't want to let that happen. Just having one person stand there by themselves. What we want to do as brothers and sisters in Christ is go to their aid and stand with them and support them. One beautiful thing we can do is we can say this. We say to our friend, I've been thinking about going to 40 Days for Life. Do you want to do it with me? Very easy. We do it as a team. We're meant to do things as a family. There's strength when we're together. Maybe you can think about that. So what I'm asking today, this is basically the last time, maybe before Ash Wednesday, it's our last Sunday opportunity. I'm asking you now as your priest, for the love of God, for the love of our neighbor and humanity, would you consider taking 1 hour between Thursday and Sunday? If we are pro-life, let's put it into practice. And in your pews are the cards. Feel free to take those and sign up. And you can also go to the welcome booth and ask them, hey, which time slot is empty? Is there a time slot that where someone needs some support? I'll help them. We all want to bear more fruit. So I'm just going to give you one last way to do it. Unite ourselves closer to Jesus. And that is through Eucharistic adoration. That's our focus of the whole parish right now. We're focusing on the Eucharist, on adoration. I just want to give you three fruits of adoration. The first one is this. It lets God's grace flow through us. Now, what do people always say about the saints? When people have met living saints, what have they always said? That person reminds me of Jesus. Well, how is that possible? Because that person is letting Christ flow through them. St. John Paul II, I told you in December, you remember how he changed that Swiss guard's life? Remember the Swiss guard who was away from home on Christmas Eve for the first time and he was so depressed? St. John Paul II changed his life in just a few words. How is he so powerful? It's Jesus flowing right through him. So St. John Paul II was famous for spending a lot of time in the chapel. He would even lie down face first on the face first on the ground in the form of a cross as a sign of humility and love for Jesus. In 1995, he went to Baltimore for a papal visit. And when he was staying at the papal nunciature is the residence of the papal nuncio. The nuncio is a representative of the pope in a given country. So he's staying at this big residence. And his assistants told the local organizers, don't tell John Paul II where the chapel is. Because if he finds out where it is, he's going to go there, spend too much time there, and he's going to ruin the whole schedule. He's got to meet the president and all this. Don't tell him where the chapel is, right? So in the hallway in the nunciature, they took off all the markings of where the chapel is so that all the doors would look the same. So when St. John Paul II walked down that hallway, walks down, and he pauses at that door where the chapel is, turns around, looks at his assistants, and he wags his finger at them. You guys try to hide the chapel from me. And he goes in there. How is it that he knew where the chapel was? Because of his love, his closeness to the Eucharist. Number two, adoration gives us courage. If we want to bear more fruit, you need more courage. And adoration will give us that courage. In 1994, St. Mother Teresa, she's invited to the United States National Prayer Breakfast. Usually politicians tell people what they want to hear. It's all about political correctness. Not Mother Teresa. She told people the truth. She spoke what needed to be said. And this is a clip of what she said.
But I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion. Because Jesus said, if you receive a little child, you receive me. So every abortion is the denial of receiving Jesus. It's the neglect of receiving Jesus. It is really a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder by the mother herself. And if we accept that the mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? How do we persuade a woman not to have an abortion? As always, we must pursue her with love, and we remind ourselves that love means to be willing to give until it hurts.
Not everyone clapped, President Bill Clinton and First Lady Hillary did not approve of what she said, but she had so much courage. She gets it from the Eucharist. She said this, "In our congregation, we used to have adoration once a week for an hour. And then in 1973, we decided to have adoration 1 hour every day. We have much work to do. Our homes for the sick and dying destitute are full everywhere. But from the time we started having adoration every day, our love for Jesus became more intimate. Our love for each other, more understanding. Our love for the poor, more compassionate. And we have double the number of vocations." Last fruit, third fruit. Adoration will help our children. In 1881, in a small Italian village in northern Italy near Turin, in a small village called Lu, with a population of under 5,000, the mothers of that town decided they want to pray for vocations that some of their own children would follow God as a priest or sister. Under the direction of their parish priest, they gathered every Tuesday for adoration. And on the first Sunday of every month, they would receive Holy Communion at Mass, because back then, people did not take communion every Sunday. And they prayed a particular prayer together. So through the trusting prayer of these mothers, there is this deep joy in the atmosphere. The whole parish was filled with this readiness to respond so the kids could recognize God's call as soon as it came. And the parents would say, "The Lord gave us our children, and if he calls them, we can't say no." This small parish of under 5,000 people produced 323 vocations. 152 priests, 171 nuns. That's unheard of. That's unbelievable. That's the fruit of the Eucharist. That's the power. And that photo shows every 10 years, the people, the priests and sisters would come back to their hometown and have a celebration of what God did in their parish. Some families had three or four priests or sisters just from their family alone. And the most well-known of that little church, little parish, is Blessed Philip Rinaldi. A little church produced a saint. I cannot wait until 25 years, one of you will also be canonized a saint. It's going to happen. So please do not give in to discouragement. Think about what can happen if we spend more time adoring Jesus. There's lots of time. There's always hope. Our God is a God of miracles, and he wants to bring our children home. Focus on being a good tree. Good trees bear good fruit.